Okay. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Menachos is Chaf Aleph. We are starting today in Chaf Amud Beis. Today we are continuing the discussion of Melech of salting the Karbanos. The Torah by Karb Mincha tells us that there's a salting requirement regarding a Karb Mincha. And so yesterday we started the discussion of salting, and today we're going to continue the discussion of salting of Karbanos. The Gemara yesterday taught us which Karbanos that go into the Mizbech are subject to salting. So those things that are not subject to salting are blood. Blood of a carbon is not, there's no salt requirement for the blood. And the Gemara yesterday went through an intricate drush in terms of how to arrive at the conclusion that we know that the blood does not require salting. The Gemara has a drasha, me'al mincha secha ve'lo me'al dimcha. Right now, your mincha, and again, when we say mincha, we're referring specifically to the comments of the mincha and not to the blood of a mincha. How about limbs of a carbon? Do they get salted? So the answer is yes. And what we did yesterday is we noted that there were six points of connection that connect a comments to a varim, as opposed to there are only two points of connection that connect comments to that of dam. And so 6-2. So that means that just like kmitza is salted, so too the avarim are going to be salted as well. Blood, on the other hand, is excluded from the requirement of salting. Chaf Amud Beis, we're on 20b, we're on the top of the Amud, and we are third line down. Amar, continuing in this discussion, we're going back to the brisa that we quoted yesterday. Shomayan, yafilo etzim adam, shenikru karbon. So I might have thought that both wood and blood should require salting because they're given the designation of karbon. They're called karbon. So somewhere throughout Tanakh. So the Gemara says, so wait a second, I'm a little bit confused. So you're telling me that the reason why wood, which is obviously the fuel for the fire that's burned on the top of the Mizbeach, I would have entertained this idea that it should require salting because somewhere in Tanakh it's referred to as carbon. And in a moment we're going to see the Pasuk. But the Gemara says, wait one second. If in fact you subscribe to the viewpoint that a wood is considered a carbon, so then it should require salting. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. Who is of this opinion that wood is in fact called carbon? Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Rebbe, mibayi bal melech. Wait a second. According to Rebbe, there is a salting requirement for wood. How do I know that? The time the Gemara quotes the Brisa, carbon, malami, shemisnadin, etzim. If a person wants to, he can make an adava of wood. Meaning, what's your standard carbon? Your standard carbon is going to be an animal, or it's going to be a bird, or it's going to be a flower offering. However, according to Rebbe, included in this list of those things which could be offered, both donated and offered on the top of the Mizbeach, so Rebbe's of the opinion that wood. You can literally offer wood as a carbon. Now, v'kamash negzirim. Now, there's a lot to go over in terms of first of all, how much wood are you going to bring up? So he says it's going to be two blocks of wood. Later in the Masechta, we're going to describe actually what the wood is look like, the shape of the wood. Okay, but anyway, so two blocks of wood. V'cheinu Omer. And he quotes the pasuk from Nehemiah, v'hagora los yiflinu al karbon ha'etzim. Lottery was taken in terms of who's going to donate the wood, right? When they came back into Eretz Yisrael, so there was a small number of Jews that went back into Eretz Yisrael, 42,000 thereabouts. 42,000 Jews left Bavel in order to go back to Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra and Nehemiah. And being that they were trying to get the Beis HaMikdash in operation, so they needed donors to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash would be in constant operation. So people actually, they had a lottery to determine who was going to be responsible for the wood. Anyway, the Navi, when describing the wood, calls it carbonatesim. And Rebbe says it's not just simply a description, it's actually a status. The wood has carbon status. Rebbe Omer Eitzim Carbon. I'm sorry, Rebbe Omer Eitzim Carbon Minchahin. So, Vatun and Melech. So, Rebbe's of the opinion that not only is wood going to be a carbon, but actually file it under Mincha. Now, I know. In other words, where else are you going to file it under? It's certainly not an animal. So, in other words, you're not going to file it under carbon vis-a-vis, right, Kvasim and Izim and Bakar. Okay, is that and Ophos? No. So, what do we have left? Mincha comes from those things which grow from the ground. So does wood. Okay, so file it under mincha, which means, according to Rebbe, you're going to salt it. You're going to salt it before it goes up onto the mizbech. Utu'unin hagasha, and because we're filing it under the category of mincha, so there's the hagasha requirement of bringing it to the southwest corner of the mizbech. Va'amar rava l'divrei Rebbe etzim tu'unim kemitza. On top of that, you have to do kemitza. Now, every time we go over this Gemara, so I think about the splinters the Kohen's going to receive as he's trying to do a kemitza in the wood. Not clear exactly how to do the kemitza. Okay, but It's not going to be my. It's not my issue.
How does he do it?
Not my issue for today. So I don't know. It's another way of me saying I don't know. But in other words, you're going to do kamitza again. It's under the category of mincha. So you're going to do kamitza. The amra papa ledivir rebbe eitzim shrichem eitzim. And not only that, but you need wood. Meaning the eitzim that you're offering is a carbon. It's a carbon mincha. Just like a mincha, I have to put wood underneath in order to burn it. So too the wood, even though the wood itself is going to burn wonderfully, but it's a carbon, therefore it requires wood in order to burn wood underneath it. Now that we're here, so the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, if the author of the Brace is actually subscribing to the opinion of Rebbe, well, Rebbe actually requires wood to be salted. So now the Gemara says, we're stuck, right? So the Gemara says, Samimi Khan Eitzim. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to revisit the Brisa, and we're going to remove the word Eitzim from the Brisa, because assuming that the Brisa actually subscribes to Rebbe's viewpoint, so therefore wood is now to be removed, and Ve'ela Karala Mutemai. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what? So now we removed wood. Now we have a problem. Because remember how the Brisa worked? The Brisa told us that what things require salt. The Brisa gave us a long list. What things do not? Well, blood is excluded, but the exclusion of blood is actually based on the drasha of minchas chal, like we said in the beginning of shir today. So we already have a specific exclusion of blood. And then the Brisa went through an entire process of excluding something else. According to Rebbe, what else is to be excluded? That's the Gemara's question. So we already know that blood is excluded. And afikates and violent asachim. So the Gemara says we're on the top of chafal afam and aleph. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take out eitzim and replace it with nesachim. The libations that come in conjunction with every carbon, that is what does not require salt. And that's what the Brisa is referring to. And the Gemara quotes the following Brisa, Detanya. Aval, hayayin, vahadam, vahitim, vahaktaris, ein te'un melech. So the Brisa over here says that wine, blood, wood, and kataris do not require salt. So good. So now in this Brisa we have it that we could take out eitzim, but we'll replace it nesachim, because nesachim do not have a salt requirement. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. Did you see everything that was mentioned in this Brisa of things that don't require salt? So in this Brisa we had wine, we had blood, we had wood and ketores. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Who is the author of this Brisa? Money. E, Rebbe Kashi Eitzim. Well, it can't be Rebbe, because as we already pointed out, according to Rebbe, wood requires salt. And it can't be E, Rabbanan, Kashi Ketores. And it can't be the Chachamim, because ketores does require salt according to the Chachamim, like we learned in yesterday's daf. So, confusion. Who is the author of the Brisa? So, Haitanu Huditanu, the Gemara says, okay, we'll give attribution to this Brisa based on the upcoming Brisa. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer Mahaprat. And so, in this Brisa, we're going to do the same thing we did in yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, when we went through carefully the pasuk that describes salt, Al kol karban chatakriv melach, so there, we notice that the structure of the Torah there is klal uprat uklal. Now, in yesterday's daf, we spent a lot of time talking about the characteristic of the prat, because klal prat uklal, iata dan elakein haprat. So the way we're looking at it is that we take the example, we extract the characteristic of the example, and that is going to be what requires salt. So yesterday, we really distilled the characteristic to one basic characteristic. It goes up onto the mizbeach, and it needs wood in order to be burnt on the top of the mizbeach. That was our characteristic yesterday. In today's daf, in today's brisa, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, so he says no. He used the characteristic actually threefold. One, mefurish avishem mekabel tumah. It has to be something which is susceptible to tumah. Two, olal ishim, it's burnt on top of the mizbeach. And three, yeshno al mizbeach achitzon. And it goes on the outer mizbeach. Meaning, again, the Torah is talking about kmitza. It's talking about the kmitz of a mincha. So the three characteristics are, number one, susceptible to tumah, of course, it's a food. Number two, it's burnt on the mizbeach, the kmitz is. And number three, it goes on the outer mizbeach, that's the kmitza. Now, av kol davar mekabel tumah v'olal ishim yeshno al mizbeach achitzon yatzim. I'm sorry, achitzon. So that means now that those are the characteristics of the things that require salt that go on the top of the mizbeach. What is this excluding? Yatsu Hm She'ein Mekabel Tumah. So what is not Mekabel Tumah? I'll get back to that in just a moment. Yatsu Dam V'Yayin She'ein Olam Le'ishim. And blood and wine do not get burnt on the Mizbeach. They're put on the Mizbeach, but they're not burnt on the Mizbeach. And Yatsu Ketor She'ein Olam Mizbeach Achitzon. Ketor does not go on the outer Mizbeach. It only goes on the inner Mizbeach. So therefore Ketor also is not going to have a salting requirement. According to this Brisa now, we now know authorship of the previous Brisa. The Brisa on the top of the Amud that says that wine, blood, wood, and Ketores are not subject to salting, obviously is following this viewpoint and looking at these three characteristic traits in terms of what requires salt. Okay. The Gemara said very candidly, very flatly, that wood is not susceptible to tumah. And now, on one hand, the Gemara is right. I mean, goes without saying. But in other words, we understand the Gemara because wood is not a kli. When it comes to wood, only pshutik kli eitz is not mekabel tumah, and certainly wood in its raw state, meaning it's just firewood, so it's not going to be mekabel tumah. On the other hand, Rashi notes that we know that wood that is used in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach, even though it's pshutik kli eitz, it will be mekabel tumah, and Rashi's bothered. Rashi, the fourth line down, Eitzim ain't mekablam tumah, v'alfagav de Eitzim ha'racha mekablam tumah. Now the Eitzim that go on the Mizbech is mekablam tumah. How do I know that, says Rashi? Kedamrina b'perek sheni de Pesachim, v'abasar l'rabos Eitzim ulavona. So there's a drasha in the Gemara in Pesachim that teaches us that the wood that goes on top of the Mizbech is in fact susceptible to tumah. So how is our Gemara very flatly saying that wood is not mekablam tumah, and the Gemara in Pesachim says it is? So Rashi offers as an answer, Hahu midrabananhu, mishum chibas hakodesh. So really, the tumah, the susceptibility to tumah of wood, is only midrabanan. Now, it's true that the Gemara over there cites a pasuk and a drasha, but that's a smachta ba'alma. It's not a real derived source from the Torah. It's just that the Chachamim legislated, and they're using a pasuk, but only as a reference, but not actually a source. Because wood is not mekabel tumah if it's not actually fashioned into a kli. And Rashi over here uses the expression chibas hakodesh. It's a term that you're going to hear throughout Zvachim, throughout Menachos, this idea that when something is used in the in somewhere along the avoda, so therefore it gives it heightened sensitivity. And therefore it will now, for those things which normally are not mekabel tumah, it would be mekabel tumah. But what Rashi is arguing over here is that, albeit that's only on a rabbinic level, that's not on a daraisa level. So when our Gemara says very flatly that wood is not mekabel tumah, even wood of the mizbeach, it means on a daraisa level it's not mekabel tumah. The Gemara in Pesachim is only talking about on a derabbanan level. Okay, back to our Gemara. Elataima de taima kor ladam halav hachi hava min adam li bay melach. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have now said numerous times that the blood that is sprinkled on the Mizbeach does not require salting. How do we know that? Because of a drasha. Now, if I would have removed the drasha, so that means that blood would require salting. To which the Gemara says, I don't even understand how we can even entertain the discussion. Kevin de Malche nafek le'mitoras dam. Now, the Gemara says, here's the basic idea. You see, what the problem is that if you were to salt the blood that's going to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, it's no longer fit to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. How do I know that? Amar Ziri, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Dam Shebishlo Eino over Alav. Rav Yehuda, Amar Ziri, Dam Shemalcho Eino over Alav. There are halachas which intersect. We all know, and Achrei Mos, the Torah describes it in great detail, that there's a prohibition for you and I to consume blood. The Torah also tells us that when shechting an animal, the blood that's taken out of the animal is going to be used for Zrikas Adam, for the sprinkling of the blood. And here now we're going to see an intersection of these two halachas. And that means to say that which blood it needs to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, the blood that you and I are forbidden to eat. Now, the halacha goes like this. Cooked blood, it's rabbinically it's also to eat. But min ha-Torah, there is no chiyuv for eating cooked blood. And when we say cooked blood, we could be talking about where it's cooked in fire, or even if it's salted. The Gemara in Chulin tells us, and Rashi over here quotes it, that malicha have karaseach, that salting is tantamount to roasting, meaning that it creates a reaction, a chemical reaction. Okay. Heat actually is emanating from when you salt an item, and so therefore salting halachically has the same properties as cooking, literally as roasting.
Lux.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. So with that stated, So now what the Gemara is bothered by is as follows. So I don't understand. Let's go over the havamin of what we're entertaining. You're going to salt the blood and then sprinkle on the mizbeach. You can't. If you were to salt the blood, so then the Isser of Achila goes away. And if the Isser of Achila goes away, it's no longer eligible to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. So what kind of discussion are we even having? We have a drusha that tells us that you can't salt the blood. Even without the drusha, we would have known it. And the Gemara over here mentions, incidentally, it's not germane to our discussion, but if I have limbs of a carbon that are roasted and then put onto the Mizbeach, so you're missing Reach Nichoach. This takes us all the way back to Zvachim, Daf Mem Vav. The Gemara over there says that there are six kavanas that you need when offering a carbon on the Mizbeach, and one of them is the Reach Nichoach that comes off as you are roasting it. It has to be roasted for the first time on the Mizbeach. You can't pre-roast the limbs of an Ola and only afterwards put it on top of the Mizbeach. Okay, that's incidental to our discussion over here, but anyway. So what the Gemara's question is now is as follows. Why do we even need a drasha to teach us that blood is not to be salted, even without a drasha? If we were to salt the blood, it would be ineligible for Zrikas Adam. So what discussion are we even having? The Gemara says, "Ma'od teima mishte ba mashahu lemitzvah ba'alma kamash malan." The Gemara says, "Well, salting, a small amount of salting is not going to be tantamount to roasting. Roasting, this idea that malicha havikar roseach is only when you put a healthy amount of salt on an item. So a light salting is not going to be considered an act of cooking. So without the drasha, I would have thought as follows: just put a small amount of salt on to fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah of being moleach, of melicha. On the other hand, you have not disqualified the salt for its usage on the mizbech because it's not a good amount of salt. So I would have fulfilled the mitzvah. I wouldn't have disqualified it. Maybe that's what the Torah wanted of us. That's where the drasha comes in. Now the drasha is coming to tell us no salt whatsoever. Gufa Amar Ziri Amar Rabbi Chanina Dam Shebishlein Over Alav. And now the Gemara is going to discuss in more detail this idea that we just learned, the halacha that we just learned, that once you cook blood, there's no longer an Issur Torah to eat such blood. Yosef Rabba Vekamar Lalashmaita Eisve Abaye. So Abaye challenges based on a braisa. Hikfas Adam, if you congeal the blood. When the Gemara talks about congealing blood, the Gemara is assuming that it's congealed through heat. So if you congeal the blood, va'achlo, and you ate the blood. So you basically ate blood in a solid state. Oh, she'im chasachela v'gamo. Or let's say you took the forbidden fats of an animal, you heated it in order to liquefy it. In other words, in its natural state, it's hard. And then you heat it and liquefy it. So even though you are eating blood or drinking chelev, chayev, the point the Bryce is making is that it doesn't matter that you change the state in which it's in. Moving it from a leather to a liquid to a solid by blood, or from a solid to liquid by chelev, still, there is an issur Torah to consume them. Now, this braisa seems to clearly indicate that despite the fact that you heated the blood, otherwise known as cooking, you are still going to be subject to the Torah prohibition of consumption. That goes against what we just learned in the name of Ze'iri. The Gemara attempts to give the following answer. Lo kasha kan shehikva ba'or kan shehikva b'chama. Well, maybe it makes a difference in terms of how it's cooked, whether it's cooked in fire or it's cooked by the sun. Ba'or lo hadar. Bichama hadar. So the Gemara says that when you cook in a fire, so it can never halachically be reconstituted. In other words, blood cooked in fire, which congeals, even if you then cools down and it goes back to its liquid state, it's not the same. This is the Gemara's argument. But if it's cooked in the sun, there, when it congeals and it returns back to its liquid state, so that is considered a reconstitution of the blood and the Isser comes back. The Gemara says, I'm thinking about this answer, but I don't understand it. So, Bechama Nami, Lema Hove Idche Idche. The Gemara says, I don't understand. What difference does it make? How does it go? How it goes from liquid form to solid form? If you're telling me that while in solid form, the Isser goes away, Kaven de Idche Idche, so once it's pushed off, it's permanently pushed off. This is a really interesting application of the idea of dichui. When we talk about dichui throughout the Gemara, we generally talk about it in terms of something was eligible and then it becomes disqualified. Here, the concept of dichui is working in the inverse, where at one point it was asur, but the isur goes away. Once the isur goes away, it can't return. That's a really interesting application of the idea of dichui vis-a-vis our Gemara. But the Gemara says, okay, but the Gemara is clearly using the idea of Dichui. And so now that we're here, so basically the Gemara says, so now I'm lacking an understanding. If I cook the blood and congeal it, whether I do so with fire or whether I do so with the sun, shouldn't make a difference. Because in its congealed state, the Isser is gone, the Isser is gone. So, by mine, Rebbe, money, me Rebbe Yochanan, dam shekarish v'achlo, mahu. The Gemara continues in the discussion, blood that was congealed, and then you ate it. What's the halacha? Amar lehol v'nizcha yitcha. So, and he said very clearly that, well, because now it's in the congealed state, because of the cooking, so therefore the Isser is gone. And so now, when Rava was posed with all of these challenges, so now Ishtik, he was quiet, he didn't know what to say. Amar le, so Abaye says back to Rava, well, Dilma vadai kan bechatos achitzonos, kan bechatos apnimis. Well, maybe it makes a difference in terms of the blood, which carbon it's actually going to be used for. Outer chatos versus inner chatos. Why should there be a difference? So stay tuned. Amar. So when Rava heard this, Rava got super excited. Ad kartan milson de amar rechista. You reminded me of that which Rav Chista said. Now in another girsa, it's Rava. The girsa of Rava just happens to sound a little bit better in that we know that Abai and Rava were both students of Rava. Either way. So, milson de amar rechista, dam shikarash bechatos v'achlo chayav. Now again, what the Gemara over here is doing the same thing we did previously. The intersection of the halacha of blood that is sprinkled on the Mizbeach and the Isser in the Torah to consume blood. And the Gemara is now assuming that these two halachas intersect. If it's eligible for sprinkling on the Mizbeach, therefore it's Usser to consume. If it's no longer eligible to sprinkle on the Mizbeach, there's no longer a Torah prohibition to consume it. And now look at the distinction we're going to make. We're not doing anything. But look at the distinction that Rav Chista is going to make regarding Chatos blood. Now, inner Chatos blood has to be in liquid state. Outer Chatos blood can be in solid state. Why? He goes on to explain. V'lakach v'nasan, because when it comes to the outer Chatos, what's the verbs the Torah uses? Taking it and placing it. So, Amar Rachmana v'hai bar lakich v'nasinahu. Blood, even when going into a solid state, you can do both of those verbs. You can take it and you can place it. Bechatos apnimis va'achlo pater v'tava v'hiza amrachmana v'hai lav bar tvila v'azahu. However, blood that is going to be sprinkled in the heichal, blood of an inner chatas. What is the Torah's verbs instructing the Kohen? To dip his finger into the blood. You can't do that in a solid state. You can only do that in liquid state. So now what the Gemara is proposing is that the distinction to be made and a defense of Rava would be that if blood is in solid state, so then it would be Aser, so that could be the describing of the Chatas Chitzonos, blood of the outer Chatas. Masha Enkein, the blood that has to be in liquid state and once moved to solid state is no longer qualified, that's the blood of a inner Chatas. V'Rava Didei Amar, Afilo B'Chatas Apanimi. Now, all this was Rava explaining and defending the viewpoint of Ze'iri. Rava himself doesn't agree. Rava didei amar afilo bechatos apnimis va'achlo chayav. Rava says that the blood of an inner chatos, even when moved and transferred over to a solid state, is going to be liable to the penalty of achilas dam. Why? Holchenek dorai bechatos achitzona. I'll tell you why. Because even though I agree with the premise that inner chatos blood has to be in liquid state, but because there's other bloods that can be used in solid state, i.e. outer chatos blood, so therefore all bloods, even the blood of an inner chatos, are going to be subject to the blood prohibition even when moved to a solid state. And the Gemara goes even one step further. Amra, Papa, sorry. Amra, Gidol, Amra, Ziri. No, I was right the first time. Amra, Papa, Hilkach, Dam, Chamor, Shikarosh, Va'achlo, Chayav, Hol, Cheneg, Dorai, B'chatos, Achitzona. So our Papa says, let's take this now to and extend it to its conclusion, which is that as long as I have complementary, parallel blood that's usable, that's serviceable, so therefore this blood is going to be usser. Here, look how far he extends it. Blood of a donkey. Now, a number of things about a donkey. It's not kosher. It's certainly not eligible to be used as a carbon. But because the blood of a donkey is the same blood, and now when I say same, I mean from a property standpoint, is the same thing of the blood of an animal that can be offered as a carbon, and even though it is coming from an animal that can't be used as a carbon, can't be eaten by you and I, nevertheless, the idea is that it's still going to be subject to a blood prohibition, a dam prohibition, because kinegdo. Because we have this idea that as long as it shares the same properties of something that can be used as a zrikas adam, therefore it's subject to the blood prohibition. I'm Rav Gidol Amar Ziri. Dam bein lach men yavish chotzeitz. The Gemara over here quickly moves to a tangent regarding the idea of blood and a chatzitza. When toveling in a mikvah, the water has to come into contact with every part of your body, external body. Anything that serves as a barrier between the water and your body is a chatzitza and will invalidate the tvila. The liquid, however, that's on your body is not a chatzitza. Now the problem is that Rav Gidol says in the name of Ziri that blood, whether in solid or in liquid state, is going to be serving as a chatzitza. Make sure the Gemara says, I don't understand. We have a very clear brisa that tells us that when blood or honey or milk or ink, I translate it out of order. So is yaveshim, if it's dry, it serves as a chatzitza. And if it's in liquid state, it is not serve as a chatzitza. It's not a chatzitza. Obviously, this poses a problem. So lokasha hadasrich hadalosrich. So the Gemara over here is actually going to give degrees of viscosity as it relates to blood. Mm-hmm. So blood in a very viscous state, that's super thick, even though it's quote-unquote in liquid form, so that would be a chatzitza. Blood, however, that's in a thinner state is not going to be a chatzitza. Rashi over here gives a really interesting litmus test in terms of gauging the thickness of the blood. Rashi over here describes that if you took your finger on the blood and pulled it away, and it strings out on your finger, so Rashi describes that as being thin, and therefore that blood would not be a chatzitza. Okay. Anyway. Good. That was just a short diversion. We were on the topic of blood, so then we talked about blood vis-a-vis chatzitza. Okay, so far this morning, we have discussed various aspects of salting of a carbon. We identified the brice on the top of the amud vis-a-vis, which Karbanos do and do not require melicha, and as we have seen already, the Torah structures it as a klal, a part of klal, and between yesterday's daf and today's daf, we see that various Tanaim have different opinions in terms of what is the common characteristic of the komets, in which is going to serve as a base model for all other things that are going to be required for salting. Also this morning we went over that the blood that's used for Zrikas Adam is the same blood that's going to be usher to consume. And then a discussion of, well, if I salt it, so then I disqualify it for as Zrikas Adam, and therefore if I salt it, which is tantamount to cooking it, so therefore there's no longer an Isser of Achila, which means that it's no longer eligible to be sprinkled on the Mizbech. So what was even the Havamina? The Gemara explained that as well. And then we talked about other aspects of blood moving from liquid to solid through heat, whether or not there's an issur in the Torah, and just quickly we talked about blood vis-a-vis a chatzitza. The Gemara now is going to go back into the discussion of salting, and the Gemara now is going to talk about the mechanics of salting. How is salting of a carbon actually done? So the Torah says, now we quoted the pasuk yesterday, the Torah gives very clear instructions. Right, I'm going back to yesterday's daf. V'chol karban min chasecha b'melach timlach. You salt it in salt. It is a strange expression, and the Gemara now is going to try to explain to us what is the basis of this expression. Timlach lamai asa. So the Torah says b'melach timlach. Salt it in salt. So the word salt in the Torah is used both as a verb and as a noun. B'melach timlach. So you're going to salt it in salt. What does that mean? Gemara explains. Timlach l'may asa l'chidetani, the Gemara quotes the Brisa. B'melach yachol tivonehu. So I might have thought, I might have had have a meaning that what should we do with the salt? Tivonehu. I'm not translating it right now. Okay? Not because I'm, it's not a boycott. It's that the Gemara is going to struggle with that word, and we're going to watch Gemara later on struggle with that word. So tamalamar timlach. So the Torah is therefore teaching us timlach. Okay, so right now we don't understand the first point of the Braisa. We're going to come back and hopefully gain an understanding a little bit later. Now, I might have thought that timlach, if the Torah would have just told me the verb, so I might have thought, okay, you know what, salt it, but b'mei malach. In other words, use any kind of brine. You know, in other words, you don't have to use actual physical salt. You could use a salt that's already part of a solution, a brine. So tamalam rabba malach. That's why the Torah says b'melach. So in other words, by the Torah using the word malach as a noun, it means you have to use salt. And not just something that creates a salting effect. V'lo tashbiz malach. The Torah says that you shouldn't stop salt, which simply means that salt should be used all the time, but what is the Torah driving at when it says v'lo tashbiz malach? So havei malach she'inu shoveses, you should use the salt that is available year-round. Rashi describes in the summer, in the winter, use salt that's available year-round. Ve'ezezu malach sedomis, sea salt. Now, it's really interesting, by the way, the Gemara over here identifies of all the salts, the salt of malach sedomis. Generally speaking, throughout the Gemara views that kind of salt as something which is hazardous and something that we actually, Mayim Achronim, is there to remove the Melech Sedomis. But vis-a-vis our discussion over here, it just simply means that the kind of salt that we want is salt which is available year-round, sea salt. Now, the Gemara's assumption over here that sea salt is fine. The Gemara says, what if you don't have fine salt? So the Gemara says, okay, so use the coarse salt. Tamalamar takriv kolshehu. So the word takriv tells us that even if I don't have fine salt, as long as I have salt, even if it's coarse, use it. Takriv mikomakom. Takriv then makes, the Gemara makes a second point, mikomakom. Even if the salt has to come from outside of Eretz Yisrael, even if you have to import salt, that's fine. Takriv afil b'shabbos. Salting even on Shabbos. Takriv afil b'tumah. If, let's say, we're bringing a carbon in Bituma, under certain circumstances, you're allowed to bring a carbon in a state of Tuma, salt that as well. So in other words, salting is a constant requirement, and the salt can be in any form, meaning fine or coarse. Salt can even come out from, can be exported, sorry, imported from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. I mean, right. The Gemara is using the expression over here just to describe fine salt. I'm with you. It's strange that the Gemara pointed to that particular body of water. My tivo nehu. Okay, now the first point of the Braisa, so we didn't understand it. And quite frankly, neither did the Gemara. So my tivo nehu. So Amar Rava Barula Hachikam Yachol Yizbonenu Kitevin Betit. So the Gemara says, well, you know when straw goes in to make mortar. Now it happens to me, I don't know. Right? It's not something I've seen. So, but anyway, but Rashi helps me. Rashi tells us that when you put straw in to make mortar, so you're putting in a lot of straw. So the Havamina would have been that when you salt carbonos that go onto the Mizbeach, put a heaping amount on. So the Gemara says, Amrei Abaye Achi Yizbonen Umi Ba'ilei. So Abaye says, no, I can't, that's not what the Braisa meant. If it meant it from a derivative of the word Tevin, so the Braisa should have used the word Yizbonenu. So the Gemara says, no. El Amrei Abaye Achi Yasenu Kebinyan. Maybe you should layer salt one on top of another, just like when you're making a building. So you layer brick one on top of another. So maybe layers of salt. Amalei Ravi Yahachi Yevonenu Mibaye. So the Gemara Mibayele. The Gemara says no. Once again, it's a grammatical point. The Torah, if the Bright, not the Torah, if the Brisa would have meant building like Binyan, it should have said Yevonenu. El Amalei Ravi Yachol Tivonehu. So the Gemara says, okay, my Tivonehu. The Gemara says that's great, but please a little more help. So Amar Rav Ashi Yachol Yiten Bo Ta'am Kibina. So the Gemara says, well, I might have thought that, well, you know, if you have a little bit of insight, so things work out a lot better, right? We're learning Gemara, right? So if we understand the Gemara, it makes it go a lot smoother. So maybe over here, when the Torah is talking about salting, maybe it's salting to taste, meaning we know that when you eat a food, if it's bland, it's not, you know, it'll give us the nutritional value, but it's not that exciting. So salt to taste. So maybe over here, when the Torah talks about melach and the word tivonehu, just like bina helps the Gemara go down a little bit better, so too, salting over here means just simply a little bit of salt, salt to taste. So tam lamar, timlach. Ketzadu osa, mevi ha'ever, so take the limb. I know the Gemara is using the limb as an example, but presumably could be talking about anything that's salted that goes on the mizbeach, but take the limb. V'nosein alav melach v'chozer ofcha, v'nosein alav melach umalehu. So therefore, what you should be doing is salting both sides. Amar Abaye v'chein l'kedera. And Abaye says the same thing is true regarding kedera, regarding a pot. What does the Gemara mean by that? It means as follows. We know that if we are going to eat meat, so the meat has dam in it, has blood in it, when we get to chulin, we're going to be discussing this in greater detail. A couple of dapim in chulin is dedicated to the halacha of extracting the blood from the limbs of an animal before we eat it. There are two ways in which you can cook a piece of meat. You can either cook it in a pot or you could roast it. If you roast it, we're going to learn this in chulin together. If you roast it, there's no salting requirement. The fire is going to extract the blood. But if you're going to cook it, so before cooking it, the blood has to be extracted. How is the blood extracted? Through salting. What the Gemara is saying over here is that just like the salting requirement for the meat that goes up onto the mizbech has to be done on both sides, so too when you're salting for the pot, meaning if you plan on cooking the meat and therefore extracting the blood through salting before cooking in a pot, you have to salt both sides. All the halachas of salting, when we get to chulin, we'll familiarize ourselves much better. Okay. Fair question. Tanur Rabbanan. Top of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a brisa. Melech shagabe ha'ever mo'alin ba. Shagabe ha'kevesh u'shebrosh u'shemizbech ein mo'alin bo. We know there's an Isser Me'ila of a carbon. But once the carbon is offered, meaning placed on the top of the mizbech, na'ase mitzvaso, so the Isser of Me'ila goes away. Salt is going to take on the characteristic of the carbon that it's on. So if it's placed on the carbon before it goes up onto the mizbeach, so the salt itself is subject to me'ila. It's hektesh. Once the salt on the meat makes it to the top of the mizbeach, just like the meat is, the isser of me'ila is removed, same thing is true with the salt. Maikra, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel. The Amar of Masna Maikra. V'ikraftem lifnei Hashem v'yishlichu ha'kohanim aleihem melech v'ha'alu osam ola la'Hashem. You see in the pasuk in Yecheskel that the salt goes on the meat. It is offered, meaning whatever status the meat has, that will be the same status as the salt. Tanan Hasam. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah and Shkalim. A little bit of an introduction. The Mishnah and Shkalim talks about Tanai Beis Din, meaning that there are certain stipulations made by Beis Din. So even though as something is dedicated as Hekdesh, but Beis Din realized that it would be very hard for the masses to not violate the Isser of Me'ila. So basically what Beis Din did is they made a precondition before these items were Mekudash, before they were sanctified, so that the stipulation would be that under certain circumstances, the Hekdesh is just simply lifted, it's removed. This is known as Tanai Beis Din. And the Mishnah in Shkalim gives numerous of examples of things that are subject to Tanai Beis Din. One of them is Al HaMelech Ve'al HaEitzim Shiyu HaKohanim Ne'osen Bahem. The Mishnah in Shkalim says that salt and wood, Kohanim can get hana from them. Meaning if the Kohanim use it for personal usage, it would be okay, would be acceptable. Even though the salt was dedicated, earmarked for the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara says, let's understand. What does that mean? So Amr Shmuel Lo Shanu Ela L'Karbanam Aval La'Achil Elo. So Shmuel makes the following statement. The Mishnah in Shkalim was only talking about their carbon, but not that which they're going to eat. Now, Shmuel was not clear about what he meant. He was clearly making a division. How is Shmuel's statement to be understood? Their carbon, which is allowable, that's the Mishnah Shkalim, versus that which they eat, their salt is not allowable. That needs clarification. So, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what we thought. Originally, we thought that when Shmuel made this distinction, carbon was talking about salting their carbon. And lecho meant the eating of a carbon. Now, salting the carbon, what does that mean? Meaning, we know that every time an ola is offered, so the animal is flayed, and the hide goes to the Kohanim. Now, hides need to be worked over. Worked over, the part of the tanning of a hide is the salting. And right now, we think what Shmuel means is that if the Kohanim use the Beis HaMikdash salt for the tanning of their hides, that's okay. But if they use it before eating a carbon, in other words, chatas hashem, or whatever carbon they eat, that's not okay. The Gemara says, and that makes no sense. Hashta l'mloch oros kashim yavina l'achilas kashim lo yavina. Look, either there is or there isn't an isra of me'ila. Using the salt for the tanning of their hides, that's benefit. If that's allowed, so what difference does it make whether they're using it to tan their hides or they're using it for consumption? We're talking about the isra of me'ila. The isra of me'ila is an isra of benefit. So if one is allowed, the other is allowed, and one is disallowed, the other should be disallowed. The Gemara says that can't be. And the Gemara just simply makes this point very clear. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Nim says, Ata Omer B'Shoshim Mekamos HaMalach Nesuna. Salt is stored, or, yeah, I'll say stored. Salt is stored in three locations. B'Lishkas HaMalach V'Agabe Kefes V'Rosh Hashem Mizbeach. So the Gemara explains each location. Lishkas HaMalach. So there was an actual chamber where salt was stored. Shisham Mochin Oros Kachim, and that's where the hides are going to be salted. Agabe Kefes Shisham Mochin Esayivarim. On the ramp, there is a storage. When I say storage, I mean just like a pile of salt. Somewhere along the ramp, and that's used to salt the limbs that go on the top of the Mizbech, and Barosh Hashem Mizbech. And the third location, which is on the top of the Mizbech, Shisham Ochen HaKomets V'Alavon V'Aktoros Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohan Mashiach, Minchas Nesachim, V'Ola Sa'of. Various parts of the Karbanos that are offered on the top of the Mizbech, the Komets and others. I'm not going to explain all of them now. Truth of the matter is, we just went through this list yesterday. So anyway, various carbonates that go on the top of the Mizbeach. So there's a salt depository on the top of the Mizbeach for those things. So the Gemara is basically saying, I don't understand. If the Kohanim can use the salt, if the Kohanim can use the salt for tanning their hides, they certainly can use the salt for consumption. There shouldn't be a difference. Elamayla carbonam, la'achilas carbonam. May la'achila, achila dechulim. So the Gemara says that what Shmuel says that what Kohanim are allowed to do is take the base of Mikdash salt and use it for their carbonos. They're going to eat a chatas, they're going to eat an asham. And then when I say that, you understand, we understand it's a mitzvah. So they're going to eat it, and they can use the base of Mikdash salt. That's fine. What they can use that salt for is that if they introduce food that they brought from their own home into the azara, chulin sheba azara, for that they can't use the salt. To which the Gemara says, wait one second, let's slow down. They're going to bring in food from outside of the azara into the base of Mikdash, chulin food, chulin pshita, my bai hasam. I don't understand. You're not allowed to bring chulin into the azara. And so this is already the end of the question. So why are we even entertaining the idea that the Kohanim are going to be bringing chulin into the azara? So the Gemara explains the havamina. So look, when Kohanim eat truma, here's what they're allowed to do. Truma now. We're not talking about a carbon, but truma obviously has kedusha. And truma can only be eaten by Kohanim. What Kohanim can do when they eat the truma is they could supplement the meal with chulin. Why? So that when they eat the truma, they're not eating it like in some ravenous state, but they're eating it with dignity and royalty. And so therefore, that gives them an allowance to supplement the meal with chulin. So the havamina would have been that when they're eating carbon, let's say there's not enough carbon meat for them. So the havamina would have been, okay, so the Kohanim therefore are allowed to bring in outside food so that they're eating the carbon with dignity. Afilo hachi, melech dekachim lo yavin, afilo hachi, melech dekachim lo yavin lehu. So the Gemara says that would have been the havamina to say that they could bring chulin into the azara. And the Gemara says, and even if that's so, it sounds like from the Gemara, it sounds like that it's more than just a havamina, meaning they can, but still they can't use the salt of the Beis HaMikdash in order to salt their chulin meat. Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi Achanami Mistarba Disa Kedach Hamayla Karbanam Lemloach Taim Ad Asni Beisin Halo Asni Beisin Lo. Now the Gemara says now, we're right, meaning the way we just explained Shmuel's statement makes sense, because let's consider the alternative. The alternative is that the salt, when Shmuel said Karbanam, he meant the salting of their carbon. That's what he meant. Again, we know it's not true. We know it means the eating of the carbon. But let's just for a moment, let's go back to suggesting it means the salting of the carbon. The Gemara says, without a Tanai Basin, we would have thought that they can't salt the carbon. Everybody uses a communal salt. I mean, when I say communal salt, I mean the salt of the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning when you and I were to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, so there's a salt requirement. Is that coming from private money? Are we supplying the salt? Or is the Beis HaMikdash supplying the salt? We're going to learn together right now. It comes from the Beis HaMikdash. They're the providers of the salt. The Tanya, and the Gemara here quotes the Braisa. Yeah, I'm going to go through this Braisa quickly. When you bring a mincha, you know Lavona is coming out of pocket. You're providing the Lavona. What about the salt? You have to provide the salt? The Braisa entertains the idea, yes. Vidinu nemer hevi mincha vehevi melech v'nemer hevi mincha vehevi lavona. Ma lavona mitoch beso af melech mitoch beso. On one hand, you can argue, well, if you're providing the levon, you should provide the salt. Or no, maybe the other way. Wood, you're not providing wood. Wood is provided by the Beis HaMikdash. Salt, therefore, should be provided by the Beis HaMikdash. Nearly me dome. Dan davar anog b'chol hazvachim, davar anog b'chol hazvachim. Al tochiach levonish, yinu noeg b'chol hazvachim. On one hand, salt is more comparable to wood because wood is used for everything. Salt is used for everything. And I say everything, you know, I don't mean everything, but most things. Lavona, on the other hand, has really limited application. On the other hand, a klach l'derech zu. Dan in davar habayim ha-bekliyecha, mi davar habayim ha-bekliyecha, v'ayochichu etzim sheinu habayim ha-bekliyecha. On the other hand, the mincha has in one kli together the lavona and the salt. Wood, on the other hand, is not put into the same kli. So basically, which way to go? The Braisa basically says I can make arguments in either direction. So now that I can make arguments in either direction, we have a drasha. Tamalomer bris melech olam hu ulahalan omer meis bnei Yisrael bris olam. So let's call it a gzeira shava. So we know the second pasuk that was just cited is by the lechem upon him. So malahalam mishal tzibra afkam mishal tzibra. Lechem upon him we know is coming from communal money. Salt is coming from communal money. So the so basically we're ending today with a question. Sorry, the answer will go into tomorrow's daf. The question is, I don't understand. If we were for a moment entertaining the idea that the Kohanim can salt their carbon based on a Tanai Beis Din. Based on a Tanai Beis Din? What are you talking about, Tanai Beis Din? Everybody uses the Beis HaMikdash salt, Kohanim and non-Kohanim alike. Why is the Mishnah Shkalim, at least we entertain the idea that, well, I'm only going to use it because of Tanai Beis Din. No. Kohanim are going to use it, Yisraelim are going to use it, everybody uses it. Salt is always coming from communal money. So why would I have thought otherwise? Why did the Braisa earlier entertain the idea, or not the Braisa? Why did the Gemara earlier entertain that when Shmuel said the word carbonam, he meant the carbon of a Kohen? What was the Havamin of that? Okay, so answer's coming up tomorrow.